Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday, and that means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show, and have we got a show for you. We got Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan in a steel cage. We've got Damian Priest fighting people from all angles, and we've got Jimmy Corderas getting ready to play the game in a Triple H shirt. Let me introduce Flobo's here. I chat with you too much this weekend. Jimmy Corderas, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I have one question for you, actually. Are you ready?
Oh,
I said, ready. Are you ready?
To what?
To kick it. Well, it's not Triple J tonight. It's not Triple J tonight, but hey, it's Jack, Flobo, and Corderas. So shall we rename it for tonight instead of Triple J, JFK?
That doesn't end well, actually.
I know. Oh yeah, never mind.
It's very poorly. We don't want to go that route. But we have a big show in store for you. Of course, before we do, I do want to take a quick moment to recognize here in the States it being Memorial Day. And I just want to give a big thank you. And our thoughts are all the people who made the ultimate sacrifice for us as a country and service members all around the world. I would like to just say thank you guys and to your families who made that ultimate sacrifice on this Memorial Day. Getting things going here, Flobo, you and I, we chatted quite a bit this Memorial Day weekend. We covered both King and Queen of the Ring,
right?
And we covered AEW Double or Nothing. And those were great shows. We had great turnouts. We got a little loosey-goosey. We got a little wild on those shows.
Not you two.
it was all Jack, man. He's a wild man.
it was fun. And anyone who's listening who maybe didn't check those out, you can check the replays out on YouTube, Spotify, wherever, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. But Flobo, how are you doing going into, I think, day four of wrestling coverage in a row for you?
Yeah, a little bummed out that Jack Farmer didn't call me and invite me over to his house for some grilling today, but it's okay. I'm fine. You know, it's Monday. Raw's a flagship. And when wrestling calls, you can't say no, daddy.
Tutgraph saying it's JFNJ.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah, I like that one, Tutgraph. Yeah. Lots of great folks here in the chat. So thank you guys all for being here. We got a lot of stuff to cover. Jimmy, now I didn't get a chance to talk to you about all of the pro wrestling that happened this weekend. We got a big show today. So could you briefly summarize what was, I think, like 10 hours of pro wrestling? Any thoughts you had from this weekend?
No, it's just a banger after banger this weekend. I thought both shows delivered. I thought a lot of wrestling to take in, but a lot of good wrestling too. Of course, you can nitpick about certain things and, you know, the over-under on how many run-ins were on Sunday and stuff like that. I guess with Double or Nothing, I picked a bad week to stop drinking coffee. But it was a long show, but hey, you know what? That's their deal. They figure bang for your buck, and you know, more power to them if that's what their audience wants. That's cool. I And full disclosure, I had to finish watching the rest of it this morning because, yeah, I was kind of a little wiped out because it was a long weekend. But a lot of controversy, too, with the Randy Orton Gunther finish. And I kind of went over that on Busted Open this morning with Dave and Mark Henry, my take on that. And accidents happen. It's a mistake. And everybody uses that damn B word. I hate it. Mm-hmm. You guys with botchamania and all that stuff. Hey, you know, don't get me started. I'm going to throw something at this computer screen, but it's an error. It happens in wrestling all the time. You can't help it. You try to make the best of it, and hats off to Triple H for not ignoring it, because under the old regime, it would have been swept under the rug and forgotten about. And, you know, with the old idea, hey, you know what? If you don't talk about it, they won't talk about it. But it was so blatant that everybody saw it. Hey, let's use it to our advantage. And they're doing the best of it. And I feel sorry for a guy like Dan Engler, because you're on the spot mm-hmm. in a situation like that and have to make a split second decision. And you know, you're going to get heat from one side or the other. It's either going to be the boys or the office. And the problem with this situation for me was poor Dan was in a position where when they rolled over after the RKO and the kick out and Gunther hooked him, he pulled his arm. He counted one when the shoulders were down, but he pulled his arm up at two, and Dan had to try and position himself to where he didn't see the left shoulder of Randy.
Yeah.
Didn't quite get there. And I understand why he did that, but you can't stop that in that situation, in my opinion, because you set that up so nicely, that finish. How do you stop it and reset it?
Oh yeah.
It doesn't make sense. So hats off to them for making something out of it afterwards.
Yeah, Dylan Matthews has a question for you, Jimmy. Says, farmers or ranchers? Now, before you answer, Jimmy, I just want you to know that I got a little sunburned this weekend, and it's because I was at this just wonderful, delightful farmer's market. You know what you don't see? Ranchers markets. What would they sell at a ranchers market? Manure? Come on. I mean, the farmer's market. Farmers or ranchers, Jimmy? What do you pick?
Please say.
No, farmers.
No.
No, I like to eat. What am I going to do? Ride a horse and eat them? I can't do it.
The backbone of this America. Thank you, Jimmy. I love it.
You're American. What the heck's going on?
Hey, I'm North American. That counts. Okay.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Close enough.
He's technically right, which is the best kind of right.
So we got a lot to cover today. Some big news came through this morning on Busted Open Radio. Mark Henry announced that he is no longer with AEW, seemed to have parted on good terms. Jimmy, you know Mark Henry. I don't really know the details of what he did completely with AEW or what he plans to do next, but got to be a bummer losing someone with that kind of history in the business.
Absolutely, because he did a lot of work with the talent backstage, coaching and helping them develop their characters, helping them develop their in-ring and psychology. He was really brilliant at that. That Mark is really good. And Mark was the type of guy that people would seek out and ask advice from, not just, you know, him going up to somebody and saying, hey, you know what? I saw what you did here. Maybe you should try something different and that sort of thing. People sought out his advice. And that's the type of guy. He's that approachable. You know, you see this big, big guy and you're thinking the world's strongest man, do I even go up there? But he's welcoming to everybody, and he's apparently has other projects in the work, and you know, best to him, because he's one of the nicest guys you'll know unless you tick him off.
Yeah, Flobo, of course Mark Henry didn't have a huge on-screen presence for AEW. Again, I don't really know what he was doing behind the scenes. I'm sure he was doing something, again, just Mark Henry, when you have a name like that, kind of a bummer that he's not going to be there. But again, sounds like it was mutual. Sounds like both sides are happy with it. And we'll be happy, look back on this fondly.
Yeah, I think it was mutually beneficial. I mean, on AEW side, it was a time when they really needed some names in a marquee. And not to discredit them, but while you build your own stars, it's always good to have some loner stars in there. And that's what Mark Henry was. And he was used in more of a broadcast thing. I never met the guy, but he had a chance to do some of the hype packages and some of the interviews. Maybe it's kind of cool to dabble. You know what I mean? We're the world's strongest man, and everyone knows he's the only guy who beats people up. Maybe you want to have a conversation on camera. So props to him for that.
Yeah, he's also began a career, not a career, but he has dabbled into stand-up comedy.
Oh, wow. So,
So there's another avenue that he's taken, and he can be a funny guy.
I dude did not laugh at a Mark Henry show. Yeah. I'd be terrified.
I was about to say, I could imagine him being like telling a joke and not being funny. He said, that was the joke. And everybody like,
he wouldn't even have to say it. He'd just pause and hold the mic and just look at everybody. Oh, that's your cue to laugh.
I said to get to the other side.
Right. Oh, please don't hurt me. Whoa.
Then his music hits. Somebody going to get their wig split, you know.
Beer Money, really good point here. Notice there's no We Are Ranchers commercial jingle. So Beer Money, great point there. Austin Theory, he called out a pretty famous fella. He called out Conor McGregor. Said, in fact, since McGregor has such a big ego, why doesn't he take on both him and Grayson Waller in a match here? Flobo, of course, now UFC being connected to WWE through the merger makes us all think Conor McGregor, possibly, could he be in a wrestling ring? Would we want to see it? Would you want to see it? Thoughts on Conor McGregor mixing it up in the squared circle?
You know, had it been 2 years ago, I'd say, oh, heck yeah. I mean, I thought he was pretty much done in his extended sabbatical, have his little line of Irish whiskey, probably living the life, right? You could totally have that crossover appeal. But now he's getting to fighting shape. And I know a promotion's great. I'm willing to see how far Conor McGregor has his career first to see then after his wrestling career. And of course, look, I like the guy, that Austin Theory fellow, but if anyone's going to have a matchup with Conor McGregor, it's not going to be him. It'd be Grayson Waller, if anything. So let's be real.
The guy that beat John Cena at WrestleMania couldn't get a shot with
Conor McGregor. Nobody remembers that, man. I'm talking about the Aussie icon. He has a kangaroo on his trunks.
Just
come on.
Mentioned it. I mean, come on. That legendary match against John Cena in Los Angeles in the bright lights, Jimmy Corderas. It's basically John Cena's backyard now. Beat him right in front of his family, Austin Theory did. Shouldn't he be getting a shot at Conor McGregor?
Conor McGregor? What?
Jimmy, thoughts on Conor McGregor getting involved with the WWE? I'd be here for it. I mean, I look at Logan Paul. I look at just all the people they bring in. They know how to make celebrities work in WWE. I'm here for it. What say you?
I would be very, very interested to see how it goes, because especially with someone like Conor McGregor, what a chirp fest that would be. Back and forth. These guys just throwing jabs at each other. And you talked about John Cena? Hey, make it a tag match. Conor and John against the Aussies. Wouldn't that be an interesting crossover, so to speak?
Maria says the match is totally happening. Dylan Matthews says the Aussie icon. That's right, Flobo. You're welcome back anytime, good sir. Look, with all due respect, Dylan, there's only one Aussie icon I recognize, and that's Dylan Matthews. appreciate you. By the way, our Aussie correspondent, Dylan Matthews. Let's talk a little bit about Jey Uso. Jey Uso had an interview where he talked about his new shades, and he said that he got the idea because there was an old commercial of Bret Hart. Do you remember it? The commercial came on and he had the pink glasses. I'm automatically light bulb. Like, I need blue ones. I need the exact same ones, but blue. Remember, it had the rubber strap on there and it was like very flimsy. I wanted the whole look. I wanted that. We couldn't get it, but kind of took a little bit to make mine. But I stole the whole idea from Bret Hart. I always say, if I had a time machine, I'm going back in time and I'm getting myself a pair of sunglasses from Bret Hart. I will, as a grown man, I've always said, as a grown man, I will shove a child out of the way so that Bret Hart would give me his sunglasses.
You didn't have to put that out loud. Cool. Why'd you say that out loud?
Because I want people to know when it happens. What's great is I'll go back in time. So I'm like, who is that weirdly dressed grown man that just threw that kid with the bowl cut out of the way?
Send your letters directly to Jack Farmer, please.
pro rancher over here.
Jimmy, this is making me wonder. Wrestlers past and present have had such cool entrance gear. Is there any, what's your favorite entrance gear from past or present?
Oh, when you say gear, that's a tough one, because you look at some great ones over the years and some mad majestic presentations, especially for me, it'll always be, I know this sounds like a cop-out answer, but The Undertaker, man, just that gothic figure from the beginning just really resonated, because nobody was like that back then. and he lived that gimmick 24/7. But as far as the entrance, you heard that gong, and mm-hmm. it was on. That's all you had to know, and that was beautiful to me. One that I wish that would have caught on even more. Unfortunately, it fizzled out really quickly, and this is going to surprise a lot. Mordecai.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
His debut, I happened to be the referee for that one. That's why I remember it, because I was the referee for that match. His debut at, what was it? No Way Out. I can't remember which pay-per-view it was, but I thought that entrance was brilliant. I loved it. And I went, oh my goodness. And then obviously honorable mention to the Brood.
Mm-hmm.
And also Shockmaster.
Oh, what? That wasn't even his helmet.
Yes, Shockmaster wins. I was gonna come in with mine, but no, Shockmaster, that is the winner here. Real quick, Jimmy, if you were making a statue for the Undertaker, which version of him do you build?
You got to come up with something creative that gets all the incarnations in there.
Nope, because you got to pick one.
Boneyard match.
Would it be purple tie? I've always been just a fan of purple tie with triangle cut like sides.
I gotta go OG Undertaker then. I gotta go the original look.
Yeah, for me, I think if I'm looking at someone new, or current, I am a huge fan of Lucha Libre stuff. So I'm actually a big fan of El Hijo del Dr. Ragnar Jr., who has this very cool Aztec kind of style to his entrance gear. If I'm going old school, though, you ain't beating the Road Warrior spiked shoulder pads. Those things were sick as a kid. Oh, my God. I wish I had those so bad.
What a rush.
Why don't they wrestle in those? They just impale people.
Don't try this at home, kids.
So does that mean an honorable mention for the Legion of Stooge?
Yeah, I like it. Flobo, what about you though? What were some of your favorites?
Well, I hate anything with Bret Hart and his stupid glasses gimmick. That's right, I said it. I'm also pro rancher, so maybe I'm just evil. But I always wanted to get D'Lo Brown's chest protector. Man, that was the only one that had it. It was like thin but thick, and it covered everything, so it was good for the pool.
Yeah, we got a good fellow with a good one here. Bam Bam Bigelow. Yes, a very good pick there. Stephen Camp saying Taker on the bike would be the version he would use. Tut Graff, Road Warriors changed the game. LOD from Killer or a Demon. Of course, KOD picks LOD.
Of course.
On brand.
The Ministry version of the Undertaker for Maria. But we have, yeah, a lot of good stuff in the chat. That'll be our question for the day in the comments. Let us know your favorite entrance gear. Yeah. I want to give an honorable mention to the Mastodon, Big Van Vader with the elephant thing spitting out smoke and stuff. Come on.
No boogeyman.
Coming to get you.
Look, man, those worms.
No. Legit, I almost chucked my cookies. I don't know how many times, because him with those worms in his mouth, and he'd like suck them back in like spaghetti.
Yeah,
and it was gross.
If I had to face the boogeyman and he came out with worms, I quit. You win.
Wow.
The end. Oh. I'm done.
Yeah, I think I only got sick once to try to like eat like Jillian Hall's thing, like the side deep cut there. She had like a weird growth and he like ate it.
Oh.
Huffman Elite Training saying New Jack. I don't know if we can count the music as his entrance gear, but I want to give it to you because I like it. Playing the music the whole fight was always really cool to me.
If you're gonna go simple, Stone Cold with that leather vest, simple.
Yeah, very very cool stuff. Lots of stuff. I want to get into this show here, and before I do, as always. Like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review. Shout out to everybody who is here with us. We got Jay Willie, Christopher Munez lurking. We got Solve coming through. Solve, all-star this weekend, by the way, coming through both shows. Stephen Camp coming through. Ethan Cruz with an yes. We also got Blue Chew coming through. Kerry Johnson, Dylan Matthews, of course, and Ricky Saldivar, Tut Graff, Laura Rock, Eric Douglas, Montez Tyndall, Chris Kelly, lots of folks. I can't get through you all. I'm so sorry. Peter P, Drew Jr. lurking. I always like to shout out my lurkers. Leonard Jones with a really good question I got to pull up here. Why isn't Farmer's Market, not your solo podcast.
Yeehaw,
darn tootin'. I think that we might need to go plow some fields and grow ourselves a podcast.
You live in Los Angeles. What are you doing?
Somebody's stirring the pot.
I think it's time. We're gonna have to get a little bit of a farming going on here. Big news this week, though, and it kind of goes into the show, so I want to end with this. Fightful is selecting, as of this morning, Becky Lynch and WWE have not come to terms on a new contract. The two sides are in contact, but Fightful has no word on how close the two have come to an agreement. Lynch's contract is set to expire June 1st, that is this Saturday, meaning that she could be a free agent for the first time since she signed with WWE in 2013. Lynch is said to be expecting a big money offer from WWE to retain her services, possibly the biggest contract in the history of women's wrestling. There's no word on whether her contract status has any bearing on tonight's steel cage match as of the writing of this. Jimmy, we've talked about how these contracts are getting closer and closer to deadline time. Becky Lynch is a big one, still hasn't signed. And I got to think she's looking at what everyone else has been signing lately. And I know that she wants her slice of the pie. What do you think about this story?
I think it fits in with what's been going on lately. Like you said, a lot of contracts have been coming close to expiration date. But in this case, correct me if I'm wrong, if you guys know, I'm not familiar with the logistics of when you're a publicly traded company, but contract status, is that available to the public to press in that way? They know whose contract is coming up when? Or is that just something that somebody leaks out?
Actually,
because one of the things people are talking about is, oh, someone's contract is coming out. Are they going to go here? Are they going to sign there? I have a feeling that they're keeping a lot of stuff close to the vest. And Becky is someone you don't want to lose on the roster. She is so valuable. And if someone else were to pick her up, that's a big asset for them. You know, say the name. AEW's got some big signings when they brought in Mercedes Moné and some others, even from WWE when they brought up Adam Copeland and that sort of thing. So those are really, really, really big names that could help swing that pendulum a little bit the other way. And, you know, they obviously have to be thinking about that. But in my mind, the way they are working right now, I think there's at least a handshake deal or something in place, you know, where they are saying, you know, we're going to take care of business. Here's what we're talking about. Let's, you know, let people believe what they like to believe because they like to talk about this sort of thing. But, you know, we have a good rapport here. We're going to keep things positive. And, you know, you have a place here and you'll have a good spot on the card as well. So it accomplishes all those goals. And maybe she's looking for a deal to help have some time at home too, because she has a child. You know, Seth is recovering, you know, and let her take some time away maybe. Because there's somebody waiting in the wings that we haven't seen for a while too, that they could bring back, Charlotte. You know, so.
Who I believe recently signed a pretty big contract somewhat recently. But Flobo, now I think the prediction here, and I think most people predict this, is that one way or another, Becky's with WWE. Whether to Jimmy's point, she takes some time off and signs later, whether she signs the last minute. I believe Drew McIntyre went down to the wire before he re-signed as well. I think the odds on money are Becky's staying with WWE. But for funsies, let's say she shows up on Collision on Saturday, right?
Okay.
Right after her contract expires, because if it's expired, there's no 90-day clause. Let's say she shows up on Collision. Give me just a little peek of what Twitter would look like that day.
Oh, yeah. They would probably say Collision was the best wrestling program they ever saw. And they were day one fans. They were so glad they watched Collision. Let's be honest with you. I mean, here's a roster that could totally need someone like Becky Lynch. To answer your first question, the company does not have to disclose any individual contract, but they have to report how much is going to wages. So, like, you could do the whole, like, reverse things. But, yes, the Collision fan base would collectively lose their minds. I don't think she goes. But imagine if Saturday Night Bex was big-time Bex country. Just putting it out there. It would change appointment viewing.
Yeah. She, I believe, as people have, I haven't had a chance to read her book yet, but people are saying she talked about in the book wanting to go to TNA. So that could be a destination for her. Again, I wouldn't bet a dollar that she's leaving. I think she's going to end up with WWE. Again, maybe she takes some time off and then comes back, but I don't think she's going anywhere else. I think she's staying WWE, and I hope she gets all the money she deserves, because she's absolutely been a focal point of WWE programming for a long time.
Really quickly, as far as that TNA wanted to go to TNA, they have had some working relationships in the past. We saw people come in for the Royal Rumble and that sort of thing. Who knows? Maybe she could be on loan for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You never know. So if you're trying to, you know, open those forbidden doors, see what I did there?
These cursed windows, yeah. Can I mention what Maria says? She's a WWE lifer, and that's true. And people can come and go as you please, but if you look at the last year of Becky's career, I'm not saying they're bad matches, but creatively, she's been all over the place. She went to NXT, she was feuding with people on Raw for small things. It didn't seem she had a long-term story up until the WrestleMania buildup, which got derailed with Charlotte's injury. So as a performer, I could imagine being like, I got money, but am I really happy? The Man was announced as The Man 7 years ago now, before the pandemic.
No. Oh, my God. I'm old. Seven years ago?
Well, five. Yeah, the 2019 Rumble was the one she crashed for that. So maybe six?
Oh, my goodness. That's ridiculous.
That's insane.
I'm sorry, guys. I just... just the dead air afterwards.
I don't know if it's me, but you look like you froze up for a second. So I was waiting. No,
he froze up.
Yeah.
Jack is manipulating the buttons over there. So.
I did do a little bit of that this weekend. Flobo got spicy with me. Goodfella says Becky goes to GCW. That would go viral. Yeah, that absolutely would go viral. So let's get into this matchup. I want to start with the main event here, because obviously that's the big story going into this. Having read this, it wasn't the story of the show, but it was the story, I think, as a lot of people who were reading that news, what's going to happen in this main event. Earlier in the night, Liv says that she wants to beat Becky one-on-one and will tonight. She's later seen talking to J.D. McDonagh. And then in a chat with Lyra, Becky alludes to knowing when it's time to walk away. Also, there was a lot of body language from Becky Lynch that seemed a little different than we're used to seeing from Becky Lynch. Don't know if that was intentional, or don't know if that's just a product of what was going on. It's a battle that boils down to Dom coming out to help Becky, but gets run over by Braun Strowman. Liv retains. I've got two questions for you, Jimmy. Obviously, first, a lot of stuff here. I want you to talk about the match. I want you to talk about what we saw. I also want to talk to you about something that we have discussed on AEW, and that is managing your time. The show cut off very abruptly this time. I didn't have time to breathe. Not only that, but I was shown on Twitter that for people who were able to see, Dom and Liv kissed. They are together, and we as fans at home missed that moment. Talk a little bit about maybe having to learn not having that overrun anymore.
It must have been a USA Network thing, because up here in Canada, where we watch it on Sportsnet, we saw the kiss.
No, we did not. I don't know if you saw it, but I want to shout out at HWVU Haywood, a friend of the show, for noting this to me. But
I'm serious. Up here, we saw Liv grab Dom, give him a big kiss, and then she turned around and smiled, and Dom kind of had this shocked look on his face. That's what we saw up here. So that's very interesting. And yes, but they did cut abruptly after she turned away. Right. But we did get the kiss up here. So
we did not get it up here.
Oh my goodness!
You didn't get the dynamite overrun. We got the 8 o'clock. Get the heck out! Time for
All right.
I want to bring this up, Jimmy, because I'm very sensitive to what people say, and they say that you're one-sided sometimes, and so. Right. Here's a situation where there were some issues with overrun, with some cutoff. Do you think that's a problem that WWE needs to address?
In this case, they do, because I don't think it happens often with them. I think they're usually pretty good at managing their time. It doesn't happen very often. But tonight, obviously, it was an issue, and it was a big thing. It was a big angle that they were presenting here. So it did affect the outcome, because, you know, what are you going to do now? You're going to put it on your social media platforms for everybody to see. This is what happened when we went off the air. It has a bigger impact when you end the show that way. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, you could have cut a little something out of the match. You could have cut something else early in the show. If you're seeing that things are running long, it's something that they have to be conscious of as well as anybody else in the business. When you have a lot of TV time, it seems that AEW has a little more flexibility with their overrun, but when WWE has that cutoff time right at 11 o'clock, you got to be conscious in that communication in the ring. Guys, we got to go. Gals, we got to go because we've only got 2 minutes of airtime left, whatever the case may be.
As Scott Langford points out, for USA, the last 3 weeks have been pretty abrupt endings. So we haven't missed a story beat. I think it was just a very abrupt close to the show. So other than that, before I pass to Flobo, because I have a very specific question for Flobo as well. I'm and by the way, Flobo, I'm picking a fight. I'm picking a fight with both of you tonight.
Oh, snap!
Handicap match.
But Jimmy, any thoughts on the actual match and a little bit on Becky Lynch's body language? I feel like even if I didn't know the story going into this about her contract being up, it felt like something was different with her.
It was different from her entrance. There was this look on her face, which it wasn't concern. You know, sometimes you're going into a cage match, you have that concerned look on your face, like I'm entering the cage and this is a different, you know, type of atmosphere that I'm in. I have to be, you know, amp up my anger and my brutality to get through this match or whatever the case may be. She had this kind of somber look, like it almost looked like she was feeling emotional looking at the crowd. Like, I don't want to say like an almost like a goodbye thing, but it was almost like, oh my goodness, I'm going to miss this kind of look on her face. And even going into the match, you kind of saw that at the beginning of the match. And it didn't have the intensity that I was expecting from these two this match. Yeah. It kind of lacked that a little bit for me. I mean, they started to amp it up as they were getting to the finish, but I don't know if that was a product of they were running out of time, as we were saying here, or it was just, you know, that's how they had worked it out, where they're going to start off, take their time, and then build and build and build. But it almost looked kind of rushed. But like, you're right, Jack. I have it in my notes right here. The look on Becky's face from the entrance just kind of made me go, oh, what's going on here?
Flobo, of course, I want your overall thoughts on the match, but again, because I want to pick a fight with you. On the AEW after show this weekend, covering Double or Nothing, you said, you know, AEW just announced that they're going to have a tournament where the winner gets a world title shot a day after WWE did that. I feel like they copied them. Today,
I did not say that.
One day,
I didn't say they copied. After, I didn't say that, though.
You said they shouldn't have done it. Fair. WWE today just had a cage match for a title one day after AEW had a cage match for a title. Should they not?
Yeah, I hate that too. No, they shouldn't have. Cage matches don't. To me, when someone goes, we're doing a rematch in the cage, the result's going to stand. And this is why I think needs a retirement, maybe come back in a couple years from now. There's no predictability. And no, they weren't copying AEW. Let's be real, Jack. Are you silly?
I gotta play it fair, because those are the things that are that those are things we chat about. So I gotta bring it up both ways. In the end, I think that this cage match worked out pretty cool. I actually like the cage match. I liked it all, but I would be lying if I said I wasn't really just trying to figure out what's going on with Becky and then kind of waiting for the Judgment Day interference the whole time. That would be my one kind of hang up. But let's move on, because we have a pretty stacked show here. I want to move on to the opening segment here. Gunther comes out, reminds us that he beat Randy Orton to become the King of the Ring. And now it's on Damian Priest, on to Damian Priest, I should say. Gunther gives Priest his flowers, but says Priest took a shortcut to win with Money in the Bank. Priest says Gunther took the shortcut because he had his shoulder up. Randy Orton did. Drew eventually comes out and takes shots at Punk before saying he's going to be champion in 3 weeks. Tells Priest that he'll be in Drew's hometown, and then Priest turns things around by asking out Drew's wife. Eventually, Braun Strowman shows up and breaks the whole thing up in this opening segment. Before getting into the match, a lot of stuff went down here. Flobo, of course, Triple H addressed the controversy of Randy Orton's shoulder being up. basically said, look, it is what it is. Right. Maybe we'll run it back. But for now, this is what it is. A lot of stuff happened here. Do you like the direction that they went with all this, or did it feel like they were trying to do too much in too short a time?
It always has that feeling of trying to do too much at the same time. But I mean, that seems to be the signature now with Raw, with overlapping storylines, with things going on as well. So I like the coronation. It wasn't too long, but as soon as we got that done, we went over to something else.
So, Jimmy, this was, again, I think this is something where we would say 20 pounds of potatoes in a 10 pound bag. I liked every piece of it. I also loved how Gunther kind of got out of the ring when he was done and let them move on. But it was a lot. And I've been chatting with Flobo. He's going to restart his computer so he can get that going again. But Jimmy, a lot of stuff happened here. This was I felt like it was a lot of exposition. I feel like now that I know how the ending happened, I get they were trying to get through a lot of stuff all at once. But do you think maybe they tried to cram too much into too small of a space?
I think, and yeah, I agree with that. I think there was a little bit too much. I won't say 20 and 10. I'll say 10 and 5, at least.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't really, really cramped. At least it kind of made sense, the overlapping that they did do with, you know, Drew coming out. I love the fact that Drew keeps calling out other people for not being focused on the world championship, but, you have to stay focused on your goals or whatever the case may be. But he can't get Punk out of his mind at the same time. So I like that little... I'm surprised nobody picked up on it and called him out on it. Or did they? Yeah. And I miss it. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But other than that, I thought it was well executed. I like the fact, like you said, that Gunther laid out and gave them the ring instead of trying to hang around in the background. Because we saw that at way back at WrestleMania when we saw the kickoff event, and Seth kind of felt like that fifth wheel, actually, because he was out there on the stage and he had his little promo at the beginning and then kind of blended into the background until it was time to announce him for the tag match for the first night, you know. But it was interesting, but it made sense after, unfortunately, too late, in my opinion. Yes, it made sense going into the finish of the cage match with Becky and Liv, but it took too long to connect the dots from beginning to end, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the my last question on this here, because now I like all the characters on here, but this is something, again, we've discussed on other shows, and so something I've noticed here, I'm looking at Gunther, I'm looking at Damian Priest, I'm looking at Drew McIntyre. These are all guys who I'm asking myself, are they really good guys or are they really bad guys? They're kind of, I mean, because clearly, like, Drew McIntyre is a bad guy,
right?
But we all love him. Come on. You know what I mean? Like, they're all this kind of gray area to me. Am I fair in saying that, or do you disagree?
No, you are fair in saying that, because right now people don't know what to make of them. They're not sure which side of the fence they lay. Drew got a pop when he came out, and he was a heel. You know, he's supposed to be the big heel. Even Damian Priest is getting a positive reaction from the audience, and I think that's stemming from the problems that's happening in the Judgment Day, and this is the beginnings of him starting what I think is going to become a babyface turn, but it's a slow process right now, and he's, you know, they're milking the crowd. And I think they're feeling him out to see what's going on. Gunther, 100% heel. They just can't stand him. He's doing a fantastic job of getting them to boo him. But as far as the other two, it's kind of like, oh, what do we got here? They're kind of liking Drew. We know in Scotland he's going to be over like Rover. You know what I mean? And so I think they're in the feeling out process right now to see where this goes. But I think Damian Priest is the guy out of all of them that's in that gray area that will emerge out of it as the babyface.
Yeah, I think I agree with you across the board. I do think Gunther is definitely one of those guys that we're supposed to hate. We do hate, but like, you still want to see him in every match and you're still like, oh, I'm excited to see him wrestle as opposed to get beat up or something. But it's still working. Braun Strowman comes out. He breaks up the whole thing, and he has a match against J.D. McDonagh. Mostly dominates J.D. McDonagh on this one. There's some shenanigans with the knee. Carlito and Finn do their best to help J.D., but Braun still gets the win. Later, Priest is unhappy about them not dealing with Braun, so he wants them to regroup. He's mad everyone isn't where they're supposed to be, not doing what they're supposed to do. My big question to you here is, Braun Strowman, big guy, do you think he looks strong enough in this match, or do you think he should just crush JD, or should he have had the knee and everything else?
Yes, I think he should have crushed JD a lot. It's different. You know, I get it. They're trying to do the knee thing to kind of tell a bit of a story that what's going on here. They're getting the better of him because of the help he's getting from Carlito and Finn, but it was too much. And we're seeing a lot of the times in a lot of matches, you know, you sell a body part, you know, stay away from the knee for a little while. Randy did it on at the King of the Ring brilliantly.
Yeah.
It was amazing the way he sold that. Let's stay away from the knee for a while. Work another body part that somebody, you know, and especially against someone like a JD, he was ping-ponging him around for the first part of the match. And you know what? If you want the match to get stretched out, have some fun with it. You know, you want to bend the rules a little bit. Like he picked up Carlito by the hair and brought him in and then beel him into the ring and have fun ping pong him, because you can fudge the rules a little bit where technically it's not a disqualification because he didn't enter the ring. He got dragged into the ring by Braun Strowman, and have him get thrown around a little bit before he gets chucked out of the ring. But he should have, in my opinion, JD McDonagh should not have got really any offense in. Any offense he tried, he should have bounced off him like he was hitting a wall. And that's
I would say the same thing, because this was Braun's first match back, right? Am I not mistaken? So yeah, I felt like he should just, and JD's a guy who usually takes the fall. Like that's kind of his thing right now. Right. So it wouldn't have hurt him in that case. And so I was a little bit like, JD's making this pretty competitive for who he is.
I agree. It shouldn't have gone that long. That's for sure.
I want to talk to Flobo Boyce. Ah, I can't be Flobo. Ah, I can't be Jimmy.
You don't want that,
No, you got too much hair.
technical programming by Jack Farmer there. Flobo, we're talking about Braun Strowman, J.D. McDonagh, and everything that went on. My question to you is about Damian Priest. He's kind of got a fight across the board with everybody right now. And this is kind of how he was presented before he was the world champ. Do you think that he should still be presented this way? I guess my worry is the world champ shouldn't be dealing with the lower level people, with all due respect. Should he kind of be like, I'm above this. Why am I talking to guys who never win matches and these other characters? If that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm with you. At first I had that in my notes. I go, this is the world champion. And here's somebody who's not really secured in that world championship. Again, not his fault. He's not Seth Rollins, right? But then at the same time, things are fraying at so many different locations in Judgment Day. The leader has to do something. So I thought it was fine today, but it can't be a week on occurrence, because Drew McIntyre is right. You can't even get your own house in order. How can you be the face of a brand?
Of course, Rey Mysterio and Carlito had a match. Rey cuts a promo earlier in the night. Carlito's worried that Judgment Day won't have his back anymore. At some point during the match, Balor does come out and comes to help out and just chucks Dragon Lee like Phillip Banks taking care of Jazzy Jeff. But Mysterio takes out a Finn. Mysterio takes care of Finn and beats Carlito. After the match, Rey continues to beat up Finn until Damian Priest comes out and beats up everybody. Jimmy, I don't know why, but I was like, dang, this is the meanest Finn has looked ever since he threw Dragon Lee. But it looks like the Judgment Day is still there for Carlito.
Well, still there for now. That's the key. Yeah. And of course, Damian Priest is going to go through that stage where he's going to not want their help, because I have a feeling down the road they're going to cost him big time by trying to help him. And that's going to be the story going forward. I think I would like to see that, where he wants to exact his revenge against his former stablemates for costing him what means most to him, is that World Heavyweight Championship. Don't do it just yet, because he hasn't really had a big time title defense to secure that he is the champion. So wait for it. But it seems to be going in that direction. And the first start is next week. He's facing Rey Mysterio. Did they announce it as a title match?
Oh, they did not announce it as a title match that I know of. I didn't notice.
But a big win against the Hall of Famer at least will help.
Yeah. Yeah, Flobo, is Rey Mysterio the kind of person you want to see Damian Priest dealing with? Is that a big enough? I mean, he's a big enough name, but like with how hot he's been recently, do you still think he qualifies as like, okay, he's dealing with world level guys?
The short answer is no. And it's not Damian Priest's fault at all. Rey Mysterio's is overexposed within this giant faction war between Legado and LWO and Dominic on all these brands. We're kind of like, man, hey, it's okay if you take a couple weeks off there, Ray, but at the same time, Damian needs somebody. And so you got to feed him somebody. His Clash of the Castle is, 2.5 weeks away. You got to do something quick. So it's a Band-Aid, but it's not ideal.
As we move on, Ricochet has a match with Ilya Dragunov. They decided to run it back. Ricochet wanted Braun Breaker, but Breaker suspended, so he's going to face Dragunov instead. Mostly dominated by Dragunov as Ricochet has injured ribs. Flurries of high-flying offense from Ricochet gets him back in position to win, but Braun Breaker shows up and kills Ricochet again. Ooh. Second time.
No!
Dragunov tries to fight Braun, and Braun kills him too. Adam Pearce yells at Braun until Braun leaves. Lucky for Adam Pearce, because I have a feeling he was about to get killed by Braun Breaker. But Adam Pearce decided to take off with Kiana James instead. Flobo, is this... I know you cover NXT very closely on Draped in Gold every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Do you... When you saw Braun Breaker in NXT, you knew how talented he was, what kind of ceiling he had. How are you liking this version of Braun Breaker here on the main roster?
I feel like it's a bit too soon, but I like it. I like the progression of everyone knows who his dad is or who his uncles are, him being drafted to Raw and not just like barking at me. So now we have this loose canon character. To me, it was kind of quick because I felt like the draft was like a month ago, even though it was a little longer. I feel like the draft was a month ago and Raw and SmackDown were fighting and they got drafted to Raw. So if anything, Pierce would be at the stage of going, hey, Braun, you really shouldn't do this. So it went from 0 to 100 really quick. I liked the interaction of Adam Pearce. I liked them getting upset, but it felt like it came from absolutely nowhere. It was like, hey, I didn't know this big, muscly man hits hard. What are you doing? <It's>
like, you mean people are mean in pro wrestling?
I have no idea.
No.
I've been really enjoying this. I've been loving Braun Breaker here. And I like Adam Pearce when he gets fired up about things. I think that he does a really good fired up, angry general manager. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, we said last week, I believe, that Braun Breaker was kind of getting mixed reactions for what he was doing. Do you still feel like those mixed reactions are there after tonight?
I still think it's a little bit mixed, but it's starting to lean the other way because he's coming off like that real badass that he's portraying right now. Hitman, they should call him Bus Breaker because he's running into people like crazy. It's incredible. And, you know, hats off to him for doing it because he looks angry. He looks the part. And the thing I like about him is after he does it, he's got that angry look about him, but it's almost like that angry smile. Like, yeah, wait and see. There's more to come. I ain't finished yet. And that's what I like about it. And like you said, Adam Pearce is just him. Both general managers, him and Nick Aldis, are great at what they do. But as Adam Pearce has not wrestled for a while, but can he take a spear? I think he could take one.
Yeah, I'd like to see old Scrap Daddy mix it up again. I think that'd be fun
You're
to see.
Volunteering a spear to your boy.
Yeah.
I think you'd do it.
You know, I think Flobo Boyce getting in the ring with Braun Breaker would be pretty fun to see as well.
Oh my gosh.
In a Braun Bronson Reed handicap match, I think Flobo against all three of them.
That's how I die.
I always say Braun Breaker is what I call coiled spring. Like he looks like he's ready to like poof at any moment, and that's what makes him like he's volatile. I feel like the word is like when he looks at Adam Pearce, like he might hit him right now. I don't. He just has that look like it could happen any minute.
What surprises me is his speed. I think he gets speeding tickets on walking trails. It's ridiculous.
Snap.
Yeah, he's great. We got this. Speaking of Bronze, we got Bronson Reed taking on Otis. We start backstage. Chad Gable's mad at everyone in the Alpha Academy because they're pathetic. Reed gets the jump on Otis, but Otis is back in control, and Gable stops him from hitting the worm. He calls it something different, but I wrote the worm. This allows Reed to get back into it and get the win. After the match, Gable calls for the Alpha Academy to discipline them. Maxine stops Chad from whipping Otis. She gets ejected. So Sami Zayn comes out and talks down to Chad and then tells Otis to listen to the crowd. Chad and Sami slug it out until Otis breaks it up and Chad beats up Sami Zayn. Flobo, why is Sami Zayn such a home wrecker?
Yes!
He just sees these groups and he just wants to break them up.
I blame all of you. I blame you hosting and the fans because Chad Gable was coming around. Everyone loved Chad Gable. They were doing it for his family. But all you said, remember that guy one time who was Usy for a couple weeks? He should be IC champ. And it's put this weird second altered dimension Alpha Academy thing that nobody wants to see. We want to cheer Chad Gable in his suplexes, not say, hey, man, whipping somebody is kind of bad in 2024. That was cringe. Come on.
I think I disagree with you about what people like to see from the Alpha Academy. I think they're loving this right now. I'm loving it. Jimmy Corderas, one, are you loving it? And two, Sammy says, listen to the crowd. But isn't the first thing every person says is, you guys turned on me? Why would you listen to those people? The crowd turns on everybody.
Yeah, but Sammy has turned the crowd. Listen to him. Every time he says, he points to the crowd, they're chanting for Otis. Otis is becoming the babyface big time here. They love him. He's like a big, lovable teddy bear. But Chad Gable keeps talking about how he has less brain cells in his first name. And, you know, and he talks down Maxine and saying, you and your three brain cells. I mean, why does he keep going brain cells? I don't know. But
so cringe.
Well, you know, he got a 4.0 in his master's degree.
He did.
Well, then I guess he's allowed to judge. I don't know. He's an Olympic athlete, and he's a 4.0 grade point average. So what can I tell you? he's got it all, but he's got it all in the ring too. And he's got that mastery down of how to get people to hate him, especially in a day and age where it's cool to be a heel. He's not being cool. And people are buying 100% into wanting to see him get his butt kicked. And Sammy is great at being a guy that's getting people on board with Otis, but also getting people to hate Chad at the same time.
What the?
Burger Cat says, Zayn ruined my marriage.
I need context. What happened?
Yeah.
Because that's what Sami Zayn does. He finds people who are happy together, and he drives a wedge right between them.
He doesn't have a name. He's literally Burner Account. What does Sami Zayn do?
The significant other got the name to the account. That's why it's just Burner. Tuck Grab with a good point. This was Tozawa's moment to shine. Jack must be crushed by his indifference. You know, I think he's smart. Stay out of this one. Let Otis take it. But Otis, when Otis turns on Gable, that place is going to go absolutely banana, as we say.
Mm-hmm. But they're taking their time with it. That's the beauty of it. Let it fester. Uncle Fester. Yeah.
Lyra Valkyria versus Kairi Sane. Lyra gets a pep talk from Becky Lynch about wearing knee pads. Kairi Sane targets the injured ribs of Valkyria, but Lyra guts it out, reverses the elbow drop, and gets the rebound win. Later, Io Shirai is very upset about Kairi Sane losing. Jimmy, I gotta agree with Becky Lynch here. Why doesn't Lyra wear knee pads? It kills me when wrestlers don't wear knee pads.
Especially in this day and age where we know what's happening and all these injuries, please wear some knee pads.
Yeah, come on.
And when you're wrestling Nia Jax now, apparently you gotta wear a chest protector a la D'Lo Brown because
best ring gear ever. I know.
Oh my goodness, I don't even want to think about it. Never mind. Back to Queen of the Ring there, but Yeah,
that was brutal.
I think that was but it was funny when she said it. I said, "That's tremendous."
Yeah, Flobo. There was we talk about on other shows about sometimes making sure you're not repeating the same thing too often on a show. And something I noticed on this week's event of WWE Raw, a lot of "I'm banged up. I hope they don't target this part of my body." That happened today, whether it be Ricochet, there was Lyra Valkyria, there was the other person who I mentioned. You know, there was a lot of like this person was it, someone else was injured too, I can't remember. There's a lot of that, like this person's injured. Mm-hmm. I hope they don't target this part of the body. just felt like there was a lot of that this week. Did that bother you or did you not even notice?
It didn't bother me until you mentioned it in our chat. And I goes, yeah, you're right. That is a repeat beat over and over again. I'm not sure what the intent was. If it's like the Saudi show being 2 weeks ago, two days before, or if it's like a, hey, it's a holiday show. We're trying to slow the pace down. But you're right. It's kind of weird when the whole roster on the show was totally banged up at once. I wish I had some kind of implications for the general manager's office, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Jimmy, did Lyra Valkyria win you over? Does she feel like a world champion star?
Not yet. I'm not feeling it yet. I want to see more from her. I do. I get it. She had a great outing against Nia at the pay-per-view, and she looked good in her selling and the way she worked tonight. But at the same time, I want to see more before I get on that train.
I love Lyra Valkyria. I hope she does very well. Kairi Sane, though, last thing on this one, Flobo, fell short. Io Shirai, none too happy. Are we seeing a breakup of Damage Control?
Well, like I said on Twitter, man, it's not a good time if you're in a faction. There are no strengths in numbers, and Damage Control needs a reset. But it's kind of hard, though, because everyone on that roster really wants to show out. Even Keanu James had a time of some space time with General Manager. So it's not going to get any easier for Damage Control. So what they have to do is get more vicious. I want to know what Damage Control can actually do. What does that mean? Like, I want to see some damage. All this talk, all this we're better than you stuff doesn't matter without those dubs.
Mm. Yep. We got, speaking of groups that are in trouble, Awesome Truth and New Day are just enjoying an ice cream, and who can blame them? When Karrion Kross shows up and says Xavier Woods needs to join the Final Testament, and to prove it, watch AOP versus the Creed Brothers. Pretty dominant match here with AOP getting the win after Scarlett takes out Ivy Nile on the outside. Jimmy, one, what is your favorite ice cream? And two, is Xavier Woods going to break up the New Day?
Xavier Woods is going to break up the New Day? No, I kind of have a feeling that it's going to be Kofi.
Oh.
Yes. Like I said, a couple of weeks back when he did that promo leading up to his match at King of the Ring, he was sitting in the dark. It looked like he was going to that dark place. Came out of it because of Xavier for the last couple of weeks, last 2 weeks or so. But I think he's going to get convinced that he needs a change. And I'm going to – they do need a change. I love the New Day. They're both great. They're one of the best tag teams they've had. The longevity has been incredible. But unfortunately, it's time for a change.
Spicy take.
What? Time for
wow.
Cool change.
Flobo Boys, wow, I want your response to your favorite tag team of all time, the New Day, or the greatest, who you say is the greatest tag team?
They're the greatest. My favorite tag team is the Bar. Cool. We are the Bar.
well, the great your pick for greatest tag team of all time. Being broken up by Karrion Kross. Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, I guess I'm freeing out again. Sorry about that, guys. Look, I don't like Karrion Kross as a character. I don't get him as a character. The New Day have been around for so long. They deserve an ending. But to have Karrion Kross be the one to do it just makes no sense to me. And the reason is that the Final Testament, for as long as they've been on the roster, has never told us what they want. Do they want titles? Do they want to disrupt the status quo? Do they have a personal issue against Bobby Lashley and now Kofi? If so, I have other questions about that. It was never established. So when it is, it's kind of like you're attacking people at random. That said, though, I'm with Jimmy. Evil Kofi. I like it.
Evil Kofi would be fun to see just because it'd be evil Kofi.
Wait, really quickly here, who is leading the AOP? Is it Karrion Kross or...
Paul Ellering? Yeah. Or Scarlett?
Am I hating? I hate
no.
But Paul, or Rezar?
Why isn't Paul Ellery talking for this group?
Thank you.
By the way, butterscotch vanilla, because you asked and I forgot to tell you.
Oh, yes. Good pick.
I've never had a butterscotch vanilla.
What's your favorite ice cream?
Cherry Garcia.
That's a good one. Cherry Garcia, the name pops me every time I hear it. Everyone in the chat, everyone in the comments. Favorite ice cream. Let's see what your favorite ice cream is. I love myself a good cookies and cream ice cream. That's my favorite. Oreo, greatest flavor ever made. this is, I agree with the Final Testament thing. I've always said I like the pieces. I think that AOP is like this version of the Road Warriors, and they even have a name now called, like, shouting out to them. But I don't, it's similar. So I don't sound like an AEW homer because I've been using AEW questions all day. It reminds me of the Don Callis family in AEW. I don't really get what the goal is. I don't get what they are. I get the pieces are great, but like, what are you trying to accomplish with your
reasons,
team here?
Stories, reasons.
So because dominance, I feel like, isn't a story. That's not a story. That doesn't make sense to me. Right. I guess I don't really get it. I do like AOP. My last question about this, though, Jimmy Corderas, what happened to the Creed brothers?
I don't know. I feel bad. That's exactly what I was thinking, too. I felt bad for them being in this situation. Yes, they had to look dominant against somebody, but couldn't you pick anybody else? Because the Creed brothers, they've got it. These guys, they're so good. And it's amazing that they didn't at least have a competitive match against these guys. You know, to at least give them, like, make people go, ooh, these guys can go. They actually beat somebody. It was an enhancement match that these guys should not have been in.
Yeah, a lot of people have been saying that they're going to join Chad Gable soon, and they're going to be a team. But I think right now, like, that wouldn't be a very hot team up. It would be guys who have been taking L's with someone who's losing his team. Like, that doesn't make that doesn't inspire interest in me, you know? I'm not like, ooh, great.
Sounds a little bougie. It doesn't inspire interest in Jack Farmer.
My father. What are we doing?
I have no idea.
We're far into a long weekend of wrestling.
Now we are.
Real quick, two last things here. Sheamus and Ludwig Kaiser. Sheamus is upset about Ludwig talking crap about him. Ludwig cuts him off in a video package. So Sheamus just goes to the back. They fight. It goes out to ringside. Jimmy, I love both these guys, and I feel like they have heated this up very quickly, and I'm buying in very quickly. This is like perfect instant interest.
It makes absolute sense, too. And Ludwig Kaiser is doing a hell of a job. Man, he's good on the stick. He's surprising me right now. And there was, we talk about all the time that WWE doesn't put things on camera by accident. Did you notice a little sign behind Luke Kaiser when he was cutting that promo backstage? And it was just a little reminder. I don't know if there was anything to it, but there had to, we talk about that sort of thing. It says, it looked like a movie theater sign.
That
Did you read what was on it?
Yeah, you smell what Savannah's cooking.
Can you smell what Savannah's cooking? It kind of like an homage to someone else, that sort of thing. But I love the shot, the one camera shot that they've been doing a lot lately through the gorilla, through the back. Sheamus trying to find him, catches up. He gets ambushed, and they fight into the crowd in front of the people before the proverbial breakup by everybody. The agents, producers, referees, and everybody, but at least it set the tone. And this is going to be banger, another banger, as Sheamus would say.
Yeah, Flobo, I know you're a huge Sheamus fan, aren't we all? Ludwig Kaiser, though, is this his time? I feel like a lot of people have been saying, like, this guy has an opportunity. He has the tools. Does this feel like this is his time?
I would say so. It seems to me that Imperium is going to reform with a new third or new fourth, and for it to really work like how it did originally, it has to be a super group once again. So this is what you do. Ludwig Kaiser will have an opportunity to really show what he can do in the ring, and like you said, his promo skills are on point. Sheamus is an all-time favorite. Why not see what happens?
Yeah, I think great. You said reform. Since you threw it out there, one or two people you would like to put into Imperium if you had the old pencil.
If I had the pencil, Ilya Dragunov and Pete Dunne. But that's because I just like to play with those NXT UK parts. But Ilya Dragunov needs to be in there.
So that's really, you wouldn't have him facing Imperium instead?
Nope. I think the Mad Dragon stuff works in NXT because we have time week after week to sit and brew. But I was watching that match with Raw with Ricochet, and I go, this is great, but if it comes out every week that intense, it will get old pretty quick. So have it come out, have him do some promos, do the whole thing, and then have his matches every couple weeks.
You talked me into it. You talked me into it.
All right.
Let us know in the chat if there's anyone you would like to see added to Imperium. I would choose Pretty Deadly. Yes, boy.
That is the worst idea. The Matt Sacred. Yes, brother. No, that's more.
Ring that check.
Waiter, check, please.
Yeah. Awesome. He rams into the ground. We're all canceled thanks to us. Sorry, Netflix.
Last thing, Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, they're getting ready for their tag team championship match. Sonya Deville wants to manage them, apparently. Alba Fire and Isla Dawn say, "You've never beaten us before." Jimmy, are they going to get beat? See, that just sounds like a phrase you would say right before you get beat up.
Hold on, let me think about this. Well, yes.
Done.
Pretty much. And, you know, hey, you know what? I like Jade's progression so far. Take your time. Do it right. You know, they can do it, baby. Do it all night.
Yeah. Yes, he did. He stuck the landing. I was waiting for it.
Goodfellow with a good one. Eddie Dennis. I thought had potential. I'd love to see Eddie Dennis in Imperium. Bring him back. I am a big Eddie Dennis fan, for people who know. Flobo Boyce, any thoughts on this segment?
Which one? Eddie Dennis or?
No, on Eddie Dennis.
Like, he's great.
Eddie Dennis or Isla Dawn, Alba Fire, Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, Sonya Deville.
So to answer that question, I have to go back to SmackDown. And I'm the only person in Wrestling Inc. that was adamantly against putting Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair together as a tag team. And the reason being was like, I was like, well, the division's kind of weak. There really is a number two contender. It isn't that great. But what we're seeing now on Raw are making these teams strong, interact between them away from the actual in-ring stuff and have things happening backstage. That's how you build a division. So I'm with it. Isla Dawn and Alba Fire. I'm not sure if they're still doing spells or just hanging out like besties. That's fine. We can answer that question later on. But having them in the ring is always a positive.
We also got Ridge Holland as a recommendation for Imperium, and Shaw Samuels, by the way, was thrown out there as one, by Shaw Dill Samuel. Matthews. Okay. But that does it for us. That does our show. Everyone in the chat, thank you so much for being with us. Maria, Dylan, Scott, Baby, Goodfella, Tuck, Burner, everyone else. Before we go though, as always, Jimmy, any final thoughts, and what are you looking forward to in pro wrestling this week? Where can we find you online? All that good stuff.
Well, it was an okay Raw. I didn't think it was a banger. I thought it did its job. It you know, progressed so far to get to the next pay-per-view to get the ball rolling, at least that much. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't bad, but it didn't wow me. That's for sure. And as far as what I'm looking forward to this week, I'm actually looking forward to Dynamite this week to see the follow-up of, you know, the Double or Nothing, and see where they go now, and see if Darby Allin is actually able to walk. You know, you know, my goodness, who else he's going to set on fire? But anyways, I kid. No, coming off that pay-per-view, that it was a hot pay-per-view. I just want to see them, you know, treat Swerve more like a world champion. That's my, you know, I know people will get on me for that, but hey, you know, he should be the guy that they strap the rocket to. And make
that's
him feel
they
like
call you the heat magnet.
Exactly. Exactly. And speaking of heat magnet, you can catch me here on Wednesday nights and Monday nights. And of course, the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together this week. Actually, the legendary Les Thatcher is going to join us, which I'm really looking forward to that and talk to him. And of course, my Ref and Rants, which I do from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms, where I, you know, try to tighten the screws and, you know, little critiques here, and I'm not trying to tear down. I just want to see things that I think need a little bit of improving, maybe help, maybe not. You may agree, you may disagree. It's all good.
Can you have a Patreon where you tear things down and blow things up? I will pay for that. I will love to see the show is terrible or whatever the show is.
Oh man, now you got me thinking. I have to work on that.
Well, Tutgraph says Jimmy knows his stuff. Listen up. Don't listen to me. Listen to Tutgraph. Go check it out. Flobo Boyce, how about you? Anything you're looking forward to? Any final thoughts after your legendary run of wrestling coverage 4 days in a row?
I'm Todd, boss. No, Uncle Howdy messed up my stream today, but it's all good. Thanks for bearing with us and the Wrestling King podcast. Mm. I do think we're doing great things, especially with the after show. Let people know in the comments below if you want to see more of those, but not Jack. It'll go right to his head. But other than that, thank you so much. Check me out on that Twitter or X at Flobo Boys.
Hey,
and Draped in Gold every Wednesday. We talk about NXT, just Guy and I. Mm. Break that NXT every Wednesday, drapedingold.com.
Dylan Matthews was there to get you to it. The thing about me and giving me compliments is I have a big ego and it's hungry. I need to feed it, baby. So give me all the compliments. And you can do that via 5-star review, likes, comments, shares, and subscribes. Whether you're in the chat or whether you're lurking, you can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. You can check me out. I just did a bunch of shows. Just check me out on social media. I'm going to be on Draped in Gold. Not this week. I'm not doing a lot of stuff after this, actually, because I'm going to be going to go to AEW in person this week. So I'm not going to be here Wednesday. Going to be a busy fella. So I'll be there. And you guys can just work. Go to work. I'm taking time off. That's what I do. Okay. Nice. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all your wrestling news. I will say this week, I feel like I asked a lot of questions and nitpicked a lot of stuff. I thought this was a fine week. I thought it was fun. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I just felt like I got to ask questions. That's my job.
Yeah. If I can give a quick shout out, yesterday before the pay-per-view, I want to give a shout out to the boys at Smash Wrestling here in Toronto, put on a hell of a show with Mustafa Ali and Rhino over there. And those guys really kicked it. I have to give them a shout out. They were good guys. And we sat there, watched the pay-per-view and munched on wings and burgers and stuff. And it was great.
Very cool. That sounds like a great time.
Yeah, it was.
Wrestling Inc. should have set us up so we can all go to one together, watch a show together, and then cover it together live. Fly us all out somewhere. Look, Wrestling Inc., here's my pitch. You fly us all out so we can be in the same city. I don't know, somewhere like Bermuda, somewhere like Hawaii. Fly us to one singular place. We all watch the show together, and then we can record the show live together. I think that'd be great.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I thought you meant go to an actual
Dubai, whatever.
I like your idea better because I thought you were talking about sending us to an actual pay-per-view.
That'd be cool too.
Jack, like among fans? Never know. Of course not.
The only problem is I don't know how welcome I'd be at an AEW one right now. I'd have full body armor going into a venue.
Well, that does it for us. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure to tune in to the NXT after show tomorrow. For now, I'm going to take this button and click end stream.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.